My name is Aaron Halderman. Happy to be with you all. Today is July 29th, 2015, out here in San Diego, enjoying, of course, it's always sunny in San Diego. And welcome to the Paper Profits Mastermind Group Training Webinar. We'll excuse Travis today, and I'll give you an update on what he has going on here in a minute. I'll have Kristen, who will join me throughout. As always, if you have questions, please just chat those over to us in the chat line there, there'll be a blue bar with white letters that says questions, and then we can moderate those. I have John joining us as well to keep us on task there. And as always, if you have to jump out early for whatever reason, we will have this recorded and posted in the members area, so no problem there. And for those of you that are just listening via in audio, then please, you'll want to make sure you check out the webinar at your earliest convenience. So we have a great call today, so let's go ahead and get started. So we just found out last week we're having a little boy, so very excited as always. You know, one of our core values of integrity first, service before self, and be outstanding in all we do. Try to have an outstanding family, and always love to welcome new additions to the family. So I have a little boy due December 12th, very excited for that. Mama's doing good and busy as always, and I'll be there to support. So Travis, we excused him this week. He is actually out in Hawaii with, I think they have six of the children out there with him right now. His oldest child, which is his daughter Taylor. I threw a little headshot up. I think she'd be okay with me using that because that was what she had on her Facebook profile page. So I think we're good to go there. But she's off to college for her first year, going to BYU Hawaii. And so they have the family out there and enjoying a little break. So if you have been trying to get a hold of Travis, haven't been able to reach him, just ping me and I'll do what I can to help you out. He'll be back in the office next Monday. You can see there all the luggage at the airport, and then his wife Rachel out with their youngest baby Brigham out in the sand there. So always lots of fun stuff happening and going on. So let's go over what we'll cover today. We have the Seller Finance and Trust Workshop recordings available. We have a screenshot that I'll show you here on the next slide. I have some information. I got a lot of feedback and responses periodically about what if we want to refer people to one of your events or to the mastermind group, and so I have some additional information on that. Today we're going to go over some pre and post funding due diligence, and what I thought I would do is walk you through the internal processes that we have here along with the resources, the tools and resources we use for due diligence, and then I'm going to show you a recent trade that we're looking at that is a direct trade from a very large servicer that we've been vetted by. And I'm going to show you the information that they gave to us, and we can have a discussion and dialogue for that. And then we also have a very simple process of how to work with us and buy notes direct from our portfolio. And as we do direct trades and make loans available for sale, this is a group membership benefit to be able to buy direct from us. And if we ever did decide to sell paper to people outside of the group, then there would be a certain amount of time, you know, and preferred deal with our mastermind members. So we're still working through that process. We're by no means experts, and we have some of you have bought paper from us in the past and or with us, and so we'll continue to work through that and get you some information. We're working with a few newer group members that are looking at buying some paper, so that we're excited to help get that going with you as we get everything organized. The biggest thing that we want to be sure of is that we have full collateral. Unfortunately, it's easier said than done. You know, we do work with a third-party custodian that I'll talk about here later on in the call, and sometimes they're really good at getting back to us, and sometimes they're a little bit slower. Something's going on that they need to research, and so it makes a little bit of lag time. But our goal is to provide you with paper with full collateral, and then we would prepare the assignments and allonges, and you would record them. So that's what that'll be our process and what we want to do. And then we'll also have some open Q&A at the end. And then, like I said, if you have some information that you want to share via questions during this training, then please just type those in and do our best to get to those in the order that they've been received. So here's the information up in the members area. The recordings are available. We have the videos, slides, handouts, and you can actually download the handouts and the audio files. We don't have the videos. We use a certain video player that you have to watch online for that. There's lots of reasons why we do that, but you can find in the members area at the bottom of the videos page, you can access that. So John took a little screenshot there, and you can see how you can download all of the slides. You can download all of the audio files, both of those in one zip file. And if you're wanting to actually view the videos, then you would be logged in the members area and can watch those accordingly. So thank you, John, for your diligent work in that. It's always appreciated. Let's touch briefly on the Paper Profits referral program. I will just send a disclaimer for this, and it, you know, what we would be looking for in these referrals is people that share our core values and your core values. And you know, it is a great way to have a little stream of income, and we're happy to do that and grow with like-minded individuals. But you know, we're really, really looking for people that adhere to the core values and also that you feel would be a good fit. And using your better judgment, of course, we'll vet them as well through the process. You're welcome to participate in that program, and we'll continue to provide you some marketing materials and collateral for that. If you go to notetools.com/partner, you'll be able to sign up for our referral program there. The commission structure is pretty easy. We pay out 40% of any workshops or products that we may sell that you refer over, and then 20% of the funding amount for the mastermind group. If it is on a, for whatever reason, a payment plan, which we have yet to really do, I think we've done only a couple of those, then it would be structured on a pay plan option. As money we receive, we'd pay out. So thank you for those of you that have referred people to the group. We do appreciate your continued support and just making it an awesome group. So that's information on that. If you have any questions, just feel free to shoot those over to us offline or online. All right, so we moved the dates for the August workshop. Initially, we were going to do it the week before, but for those of you that don't know, Noteworthy was pushed back by several months into October. So we were planning on going to that and possibly doing a workshop and all that. So since that was moved, it worked better with our schedule to move it. So sorry ahead of time for any inconvenience that may have posed you, but it does buy us another week. We will be doing a workouts Wednesday at our office on the 19th from 1 to 5 p.m. You know, our office isn't that huge, so please RSVP and let us know what you're planning to attend so we can plan accordingly. We'll live cast that out as well on that Wednesday. Will be the plan, because we, unlike the hotels, have pretty fast internet at the office. August 20th and 21st will be the regular workshop. It'll be back at the Hilton San Diego Resort and Spa. We'll go 9 to 5 p.m. We actually got another catering option, so we'll be providing lunch both days to you guys as well, so we're excited for that. And as always, you can go check out all of our events and dates and locations at capstonefundinggroup.com/events or notetools.com, and you can receive that information as well. One thing to mention that you'll be receiving an email, a couple emails that we'll send out, is we have a very special guest expert that will be at this workshop with us, and we'll send his detailed bio out so you can review that. But he's never previously spoke or really been seen in the public sector. He's worked for very large servicers. He now does is working with us and doing a lot of transactions and trades with us, with our team at Capstone Funding Group. He has worked for, he's contracted by large banks to do their pricing and risk analysis. So he's going to come and share his you know, experience in the marketplace, how they work loans, how he assesses loans and does acquisitions. So we're super excited to have this guest expert. We actually won't even reveal his name until he comes out to the event, just for anonymity purposes and what he's requested. So we're very excited to have made that connection. I actually made that connection at a live event that I was helping a good friend of mine MC. So you never know, the power of live events and networking. Okay, so let's dive into our due diligence that we have here. And I'm going to cut out of the presentation and pull up a data tape here in a minute. But what if you're given very limited information? What would you do in that case? And let me just go through these two slides, and then I'm going to actually, let me pull up the presentation right now, and I'll just give you a look at what we've received. So maybe I'll just make this a little bigger for you all, see if that's good. Yeah, that looks good. So here's a trade that we're looking at right now. These happen to be all non-performing seconds. And it's from a very large servicer. This would be the first of many trades that we're working on doing with them directly. This isn't being shopped. There's no one else bidding on it. This is something that they carved out of the portfolio. We gave them some criteria and things that we're looking for, and this is what they sent us. So they gave us a state and unit count, total UPB, average UPB, interest rate, average IR, average P&I, if they're current. So we got, as you can see, quite a few performing loans here. Some that are 30, 60, 90-day late. Any in BK, BK discharged, the amount of payments received last 13 months, total due in the last 13 months, and the difference there, the average due per month, the average received per month, the average month's maturity, and the total due to maturity. So this was the initial tape that Travis and I received and looking at. You'll take note, there's quite a few in California, Arizona, a lot in Florida, which is fine, got a lot in Texas, some in Utah, so some in Nevada, all areas, a lot of trustee states that were non-judicial as well that we're looking for. So this is initially what we got. And then what I went back and said, well, I sent back a data tape with just a row of all the fields that if they have it, I would like it. And it was a lot of information. You never know, you know, you don't get what you don't ask for, as we all know. And you know, we talk about, so I sent over quite a bit more information requests. I'm going to show you what they received, what they sent back to me. The TBB is to be provided, and I got no borrower information or FICO. I didn't even get and let alone any pricing or anything they're looking for. So they're totally looking for me to do it. Everything. They gave me the original balance, the second, and the current. They gave me the rate, the terms remaining, maturity, last payment amount, last payment date, next due date, the HELOC. And so these are all things that I submitted over there. And then these columns here that are blank are ones that I just added today that we're actually going to be doing our due diligence. So we're going to do a BK check, title, foreclosure, occupancy check, senior lien information, the status of the senior, if it's in current or not, and then any other notes. And so here's the information that they gave us. None of this is provided, no borrower information. I got the mailing address for the borrower, and I got the street address for the actual property. So those are the information I have there, and then I was matching up property versus mailing. The reason I'm doing that is, you know, owner-occupied versus tenant-occupied, okay? So I got no co-borrower information, and then I got a whole bunch of not applicable, and unknowns. So they're not going to give me any of this information. They've already said, this is everything that I was asking for. So I can send that out to you just to, so you get an idea of what we're asking for and what we're looking and what we do a lot of times after post-funding due diligence. Now, these are all in-house. They're being serviced by two different servicers, and they have full collateral. We'll obviously have to verify. They're not going to provide any reps and warrants either, so we have to be really, really diligent on our checking and, you know, if it's a secure lien and everything else. So, and this is pretty common stuff for what you'd be looking like for a direct trade. So one of the things that we're doing is we have, I'll just fire up the slide here, and this is what we're checking on these performing notes. So you saw there's about 30-35% or so are actually performing seconds, and then some are 30-60-90-day lates, and then the rest have been delinquent since 2010 and 2011. The things that we're going to check on the performing notes with that letter of information is property values. We're going to check title, and really what we're looking for that is, you know, probability of any default. So we're looking at, you know, any foreclosure action, municipal liens, you know, waste abatement liens, anything that just shows they're starting to let things go. That would be a good key indicator as to, you know, what their propensity to stay and pay is. We're also going to look at bankruptcy, and really we're just looking for active BK because it's obviously not stripped with it being paid. One of the things that I did notice when we started pulling this is I'm not finding all the liens on title. So I contacted the seller, and, you know, I was like, well, I'm assuming you have the deeds of trust. And so the process that they're looking for us to do is submit an indicative bid. And then once they have received that indicative bid, then we'll get the borrower information and the collateral files, and we'll continue on with our due diligence. So you may be asking yourselves right now, well, how on earth could you possibly begin to price any of this information? Well, there's a couple of assumptions that we'll make, and that's what I'm going to submit back to them based on these assumptions. So I'm just going to assume there's no equity coverage. There may be, but I don't know, because I don't know a lot of this, any of the status of the first. You know, now I can back into that, and we'll discuss that here in a minute. But I'm not going to go too far down the rabbit hole to get all that information. So what we're going to really look for is, you know, assuming no equity coverage. Obviously, states and trusted states, non-judicial, are more preferred than others. You know, and so what I'll do is I'll go through and just start assigning some values. Let's say it's anywhere between 30 to 40 cents on the dollar for the performing, and so I'll do two tranches, one for performing and then one for non-performing, and price them accordingly. And I'll knock off a few points here and there based on, you know, if it's judicial versus non-judicial, there's one other point I was thinking of. So non-judicial, judicial, I'll take off a few points based on that. Oh, and then the current status, last payment date. So some of these are 30, 60, 90. So I'll start chunking off points based on that as well. And then as far as the non-performing stuff goes, some of it's been delinquent since 2013, some since 14, some since 2012, 2011. So we'll price those a little bit differently. You know, a couple points, you know, based on the age of delinquency, and then just really go from there. So you can kind of get an idea based on what we've already talked about in pricing and everything else. You know, I'm looking at anywhere between, let's say, 10 to 15 cents that we'll kind of look at for the non-performing stuff and just kind of go from there. So that's what we'll, you know, and that'll be the best that I do until we start doing more due diligence, and then, you know, they come back and, you know, say, no, we're not really close, and then, but at least we know you're serious, and we've provided them proof of funds and filled out their vetting package and all that stuff. So The things that we won't check is initially with the performing notes is the first mortgage status. You know, since it's current, you know, or performing second, we presume that the first is current. So that would be our preliminary due diligence. And then on the what we're going to do for the non-performing notes to back into some of this information, technically I could do that right now with the tools that we have. And so this is really the point I want to make with you guys on the call is even though they've provided limited information to me, I essentially can go in and back into this information and do all the due diligence that I need to. But I would need access to the tools, and that does come with an expense, and that also comes with a process that you have to be audited in order to use those tools. So here's some of the things that we do, and I can go so credit reports. I'll add the resource here in a minute. So I don't have the homeowner name and Social Security, so how would I find that? Well, I have a SkipTrace account, and I use TLO.com, and I also use MicroBuilt, and that's not like it's spelled micro, MicroBuilt. .com, not BUILT, so microbuilt.com. The thing about microbuilt is they do require a contract and monthly minimums. So I wouldn't recommend that to you guys, but I would recommend TLO. And you can get an account and request a site audit. And even if you have a home office, you as long as you know you have it's a true home office, there's a shredder, you have cabinets with locks and keys, you have a computer in there, and you know, it's not like there's a bed against one wall and then your desk on the other. It needs to be a home office. Then a lot of times they'll approve you for that. So they have a little application and you pay a small fee for the audit. They come out, do the site visit, take some pictures, do a little interview with you, and then you'll be approved. So that allows us to skip trace. So if I have the address, I can put that into my skip trace tool and I can get the homeowner's name and Social Security numbers and if there's a spouse. And their info as well. So now with that information, I can go do BK through pacer.gov, and I can also pull credit reports now. Who we use, there's a couple options that you have for credit reports. I'll just touch on those briefly. We've discussed that many times on calls and live events, but for those of you that are newer, we have an account with CoreLogic, similar process with TLO, and there's no contracts or minimums there. There's another one called Universal Credit, and it's actually UNIRV, UNIRV, credit.com. So you can use that resource, and we also use MicroBuilt. And we typically only do one bureau when we're going through this. After we've acquired assets, and we'll do tri-merges, simply because of expenses, really in time involved that we want to spend on reviewing that. And I'll go further into credit reports here in a minute. So that's how we back into pulling that. And then we're also doing a title search just using Netro Online. Netro, I can never say that right. So Netronline, there you go. So you can just go there, netronline.com. And that will allow you to do some basic free title and, you know, pull up the local state and county information there. You know, we're not paying for title searches just yet. We're just using these the recorder sites and then the netronline.com. And then if we're wanting to verify the senior lien info at that time, then we start using the phone banking numbers. And that's just, you know, we've backed in, we found who the senior lien holder is, and we're trying to access their automated phone system, which you're really using a Google search to find all those. We do have some of those resources in the members area where we provide some of those phone banking information. So if you need help finding that, just let us know. And then we're just making our documenting our usual information, ordering payoffs, making notes on the credit. So that's what I would do with that limited amount of information and going through that process. So hopefully that helps you guys on, you know, what we're doing. So let me go into a more detailed, let's see, I'm just going to check the questions. You're doing this analysis and incurring this expense before. Okay, so great question. Alan has a question. You're doing this analysis and incurring this expense before committing or transferring funds? The answer is yes. We do. We feel that it's a minimal investment that we're doing to ensure, you know, what it is, the collateral and information that we're getting, versus, you know, making a big mistake. You know, we're looking at senior liens. We're looking, you know, the three things we always hear will kill us in the business. And, you know, one of our mentors has told us early on was taxes, title, and blight. And then on our senior lien and our junior lien purchases, we're looking at, you know, foreclosure, BK, is it a secured junior lien? And then the borrower information, because the first is all about property. The seconds are all about the borrower. The property's secondary. We are checking for blight, of course. So, you know, because we're banking that, you know, we're buying these seconds with nicer property, and so with higher values on the first. So that kind of gives you the idea. So yeah, we do incur expenses. Sometimes sellers will provide you some information for pre-funding, and then they'll provide you with some more information post-funding that normally would have cost you in expenses. But more often than not, especially when doing direct trades, you're provided with very little information. In fact, on this particular trade, they've already given us more info. The first tape, the first spreadsheet I showed you, plus the mailing address info for the borrower and the collateral, that would have been it, and that's was what was communicated to me yesterday, and so I thought that was interesting. We've done some trades with some other hedge funds buying their second paper, and sometimes they'll provide us credit reports, and other times they won't. Sometimes I'll ask them for skip trace reports because they've already pooled them, and then they'll just include them with the collateral files upon purchase. So it just kind of all depends. But yeah, we're incurring, you know, some of those costs. That's why when I'll just back up a slide, you know, we'll use the netrowline.com, you know, and just checking with the county and, you know, other municipalities, and not incurring costs there before pulling title. You know, we're not getting a full report there. We're just looking for the liens and the trade lines from the credit reports, and that's what we're going off of. So hopefully that answers that question on what we do. And if not, Alan, then send some more information over to us. So it looks like Travis just hopped on. He's pretty funny. He sent me a funny chat. Oh, but he keeps getting booted off his connection. Maybe we won't be moving to Hawaii. Maybe we'll just visit there. So anyways, we have the non-performing notes pre-funding. And let me walk you through the things that we look through, and then I'm going to pull up some of the loans that we have available. I had Kristen working with me on that to get some of the stuff that we have, and then we'll go through a process of how you guys can engage with us better and the flow. Again, we're still working through that, and some of you, we appreciate going through that with us. That hasn't been nor the plan is to be our core business of, you know, only being note sellers, but we do intend to sell some of the paper that we do acquire to lower our basis, and then, you know, continually work paper for our cash flow, for our own needs, and plus with our investors. Okay, so we have BPOs. Sometimes those are provided, sometimes they're not, or they'll just give you basic AVM tools, or you can just use the free valuation services. You can use NARRPR if you are a real estate agent or a broker or work with one that closely and have access to that, then that's a great tool to use for valuations and can be very cost effective. Again, we talk about building a power team and having a power team in place, so we would recommend making some connections there and having access to that resource, so you can do your valuations, and it'll save you quite a few bucks on your excuse me, on your expenses. There's some vendors that we recommend. LRES is one, NationSDS.com, and then the REOBroker.com network. They're great for helping, you know, having some local boots on the grounds, doing occupancy checks, you know, doing drive-bys, just checking, make sure that the property's there and hasn't been burnt down. You know, what is a neat tool that I don't know a lot of you if you do know, but I'll just go ahead and share it with you. If you use Google Earth, and I think probably Bing does the same, and you zero in on a property, it'll actually, if you hover over it with your mouse, it'll show you the last time that that image was recorded in the satellite banking system there. And so if it says like December 2014, and that's the recent upload of data, I would be a little leery on that, because something could have happened between now and then. So just a little heads up there. You know, again, Google can tell us a lot, and there's so many awesome free tools out there. You know, we can look at the closest schools, closest hospitals, closest parks, closest airports. You know, is the property look? Is the lawn mowed? Are there pretty flowers there? Are the trees trimmed? Are there, you know, decent vehicles around? And it shows you all that information, just kind of driving by the area, and you can get a good idea of, you know, what emotional equity may be there on your seconds. And then on the first, you're looking, you know, more about what is the actual condition of the property and area, you know, to be best prepared with your exit. What we do for BK is we just use pacer.gov. We recommend pulling those up and taking screenshots. When you start downloading a bunch of stuff, they charge you more fees, and so we do a lot of screenshots and then upload those into our Google Apps for Business account. Kristen put in a little note there. You just log in, hit the bankruptcy tab. You put in the debtor social and then search, and you'll see if they have a bankruptcy or not. It take note of looking at previous history. I mean, we're looking for active stuff, but it is good information to know the types of BK and the frequency of BK, because they may be a serial BK filer. And, you know, you got to know what you may be dealing with. And basically that shows, it could mean showing their ignorance or their sophistication. So, you know, as in the case that we experienced with the Arizona borrower that we finally, you know, evicted and foreclosed on, he was a serial BK filer. We knew it. He filed a bunch more times on us and continued to get dismissed. So just keeping an eye out on that. And then we also are reviewing any type of loan payment history if that's been provided. One of the things that I asked for in that data tape from this recent trade of 148 loans is the servicer notes and information, and they mark that column with the to be provided. So that's pretty good. And then we'll also get the pay histories as well on the performing stuff. So we're looking at delinquency and the last pay date and taking all that into consideration. So let me just pop over here and see if we have any other questions. Okay, so we got a few. As part of the mastermind, can we share costs for resources like NARRPR? Here's what I'll actually show you a menu of services that we provide as a membership benefit to mastermind members only. And there's a couple notes that I'll share with you on that. One is because it's been underwritten as us as a company, and then Travis and I personally, you know, they pull our credit, they run our background, and so we're it's in essence personally guaranteeing the use of it. We're permitted, and I explained in detail during the underwriting process how I'd be using the accounts. We can work with you on assets that you're purchasing with us or from us, or ones that you already own. We can help with credit reports and skip tracing. If this is stuff that you're trying to do that isn't something that's involved with us or from us or something you don't already own, we cannot do that. So I just want to make that clarity. So I'll go through the menu of prices here after this this next slide, and you can see, and then we'll upload that in the members area and how that process works. We've had a handful of people use that recently, and I think we got a pretty good workflow for it. You know, there's a couple things. We provide this as a membership benefit because we take our staff, it takes their time from working our portfolio and other things to provide this to you guys. So it's by no means a big profit center. We just do it merely to help you get started and everything else. Let's see. David said, how audio, make sure the audio is good. It sounds good on my end. I haven't gotten any other things. Check your connection again and ping me back. Alan says, I've used Pacer. They appear to charge per document viewed, not just download. However, the charge is minimum wage if less than $15 per quarter. Yeah, that's correct. And so, yeah, that's good. Okay. We're good there. Yeah. Okay. I think that's good there. Reviewing the credit report, we've touched over this a lot, and we've done other trainings for that in both live and audio, but I'll recap it again. You know, we're not trying to have analysis of paralysis, but we are trying to look at what is their story, you know, what's their age, FICO, you know, get an idea of where they're at in life, you know, how many vehicles they have, what's their employer, you know, place of employment. We're looking at you know, other collections they may have, how many inquiries they have, the payments that they have on their vehicles, the terms of their vehicles as far as how many months, and also we're looking at, a lot of times we can know if the loan's been modified based on the number of months that it's being reported. We've even seen some upwards of 50 years on a loan mod, which is just crazy. And then we're looking at, you know, public records, judgments, liens. You know, we're not so much concerned about all that as much as, you know, because again, we just never know until we've gotten a hold of them, or maybe we filed an NOD because they didn't respond to us and now they're hyper responsive back to us on what their situation is. You know, just because they, you know, our initial gut check is, oh my gosh, there's tons of liens, tons of judgments, tons of BKs, pass, no, don't want that note, pass. Well, unfortunately, we don't have that luxury because we buy in bulk. And so we're really trying to train you guys up to, you know, buy how we buy, because that's the real world. You can buy one-off loans, and we'll discuss that and, you know, something that we're considering doing, but you're going to pay more for it, obviously, and wouldn't get any type of price break. And so, you know, a lot of times medical stuff has happened, kids' colleges, loss of employment, and, you know, other family emergencies. And so they've let a lot of things go, but that doesn't mean that they're not going to pay it. So that doesn't scare us off. They're just getting the history of it. If the first is not reporting, we're checking the status of it. Ocwen has a cool online tool that we've shared before. You can also call them at their 800 number and do that. And that's what you're doing for a lot of these payoffs, you know. Even though you may not be the borrower and it's going to ask you for some certain information, we're not endorsing that or saying that it's okay, but you do have a, you know, a fiduciary and responsibility to the money that you've invested, and you know, especially after you've funded the loan and to secure your interest in it. So, and then you're reviewing the collateral documents, promissory notes, the mortgage or DOTs, you know, closing statements, the assignments, the allonges, anything like that may be provided. And then we're moving on to continue checking property tax. One of the things that we do for foreclosure, they have a month-to-month service. You can just use express.realquest.com. We use their gold package. It costs us about $79 a month. again, just as an opinion and disclaimer, you know, we kind of check and cross-track and triple-check. You know, we have a lot of tools and resources we use. We don't find that, you know, there's really any one better than the other, but, you know, it gives us a better view globally, and sometimes they're not always accurate, as I'm sure you could imagine. So we also are checking if the property's listed for sale. I've listed some resources there, like, again, NARRPR, Realtor.com, Redfin, RealQuest. You know, there's some other ones. And that's a good thing, especially, you know, if you have a little second lien and you have some equity coverage. You'll be, you know, you're essentially controlling the deal at that time because you're not going to release the lien until they work with you. So that's an awesome thing. Checking if the property is blighted, again, boots on the ground. And then here's the process that I want to go through that I thought would be pretty key. Is you're going to receive a purchase and sell agreement. That'll go through all the reps and warrants, and it'll have an exhibit schedule of all the loans that you're purchasing. You'll review that, execute that, and then you at that time you would wire on over your funds. We'll have, you know, you're looking at the endorsements, and you're also looking at the assignments, and you'll receive a copy copy of the RESPA letters for your approval. You'll want to, and the reason I emphasize your approval was they're going to ask for your approval, and you're going to want to verify this the servicer information, phone number, address, and the actual mailing addresses as well are correct. As you can imagine, there are quite a few mistakes that are happening when you start mail merging, so you'll want to review every single one carefully. We've even made mistakes in the past as well, and that the buyers have caught and we rectified. So you want to review those. And then, you know, working with your servicer, and there's a note transfer form that you'll receive, and I'll go into that more in a minute. But in that note transfer form, the seller is going to request where the collateral files need to be shipped to, and who's going to – that would be your custodian, and they may be shipped to you, and so in that case you would put you, which is not what we recommend. And the reason we don't is because, you know, the custodian will help review the collateral, look at any breaks or gaps in the allonges or in the endorsements and the assignments, and then also record them. The sellers typically will prepare them, but you'll be responsible for recording them. And then you also working with a loan servicer and providing that information as well. So let me hop over to this menu pricing so you can kind of see that, and then I'll take some more questions. Looks like I have a few questions. This new source, not how long does it take to get collateral? Okay, so good question. Yeah, we're now working with lots of different sources. I don't have a time frame. I mean, their collateral is all in-house. So this is they're a billion-dollar with a B hedge fund that manage tens of thousands of loans. And so this is a small little chunk of a deal to get us going with them and working with them for more. So from our understanding, it would be 7 to 10 business days after we funded is what's been communicated to us. So and then we would then have those available for purchase. So these are things that we'll be funding out ourselves, and then we'll make available to you guys. If you have a significant amount of, you know, capital, you know, several hundred thousand, and you're interested in participating in some of these acquisitions with us, then please just email Travis and I, and we can have a phone conversation about that. Alan had another, how much elapsed time do we have to do pre-funding due diligence? That's a great question. So typically what happens is you'll receive a schedule, which is of the trade. So let's call it the trade schedule. And in that trade schedule, in that initial correspondence, you would be provided with the data tape and the appropriate collateral documents and other supporting documents that may be provided, like credit reports, to do your due diligence. And they usually have like a week and a half or so to do the due diligence on something at a smaller level. At a larger level, on some things like we do, we typically have 2 to 3 days, and we got to go real fast and put all of our resources on that. But, you know, you typically have about a week, and then right after that, you will receive loan sell agreement, note transfer form, and the wire instructions, and you'll proceed forward. So that's typically what it looks like. I will say this, all sellers are different. They all have their ways of working and with them, and so that's just something that you ask each individual seller so that you can properly meet expectations and, most importantly, funding. The infamous F word, funding. So we have our menu of services. And this is something that Kristen put together. We'll upload in the members area. This goes over credit reports, skip tracing, and other smaller reports that we can pull and receive based on the tools that we have. You know, single bureau, two bureaus, tri-merges, and other tools that we use, and they're priced accordingly. Here's what we have. I mean, these are actually the actual dollar for dollar. And we could have marked that up and done whatever, but some of you may choose to get these accounts or you may not. And this is dollar for dollar what they charge. And again, Microbill, we have a 2-year contract with them with monthly minimums. We have a $35 an hour processing fee. And so that's what we do to cover some of our costs and expenses and overhead on our end. And then so we would put that into the invoice and then get you the information, you to make the check payable over to us, or, you know, deposit the money, however you want to do that. So we'll make sure this gets over to you guys, and you can see the full menu of services and all the detailed information there. Thank you, Kristen, for working hard to get that done. We do appreciate that. Let me go back to the presentation here. Let's see. If there's a missing chain of assignment, can we exchange it with another note to the seller? Let me make sure I'm understanding this correctly. If you're missing an assignment as part of the chain of assignment, can you get another note? Typically not. That hasn't been our experience. We've never done that. So there is a break and a gap, and we do need to cure it at some point. And the effect that it has on the exit strategy varies based on what we're doing and working with the borrower. So we've had, you know, upwards of, you know, a year to even get a break in the assignment cure, but that doesn't prevent us from continually working the loan and trying to come up with, you know, a good exit strategy. So good question. So let me review post-funding, and I'm going to show you some data that we have. Let me get a quick drink. We did a 2-day training intensive that we put in the members area, and we actually did that at our office. There's only about, I think, 18 or 19 people, and it was for existing group members. It's a special deal that we did. And we went over our workflow processes and the tools and resources we use, on how we track our documents, how we correspond as a team, how we correspond with our vendors and service providers. And so I want to strongly encourage you, if you haven't taken the time to review that, please go through that. And if you were there live or watched in the past and need a refresher, then by all means you have access to it. Please, you know, go review that and be part of that. You're going to send out the goodbye letter. The goodbye respite will be sent out by the seller. You can send out, you know, a hello or tilla, you know, accordingly on your end, and then your initial welcome package, which basically is, you know, a cover letter, and we have the full welcome package in the members area there that you can take and implement that with. It's templated. And it has, you know, how we do it, how we stack it, and then send it out. And we continue to do due diligence on our assets that are non-performing. Until they're cured and paying, there's always something going on with moving the file. And that's why having, you know, workflow processes and systems in place are so key. You know, we continue to monitor taxes. We're looking at foreclosure, you know, any listings. We're looking at BK. We'll pull credit from all the bureaus. We'll do a comprehensive skip trace, and that's $10. Sometimes we'll do a lesser skip trace, and you'll see that in the menu of services that we'll upload later today. You know, we're ordering reinstatements, you know, payoffs and payment histories through the phone banking system or automated systems or online systems. And then we're checking other liens as well that may have popped up that weren't there once upon a time. And so let me pop out of this real quick, and I'll show you, those of you that just jumped on the line, a lot of you came on a little bit late, but this is a particular trade that we're looking at doing. It's 148 loans and with very limited information that was initially given to us. I have no address information, no borrower information. So I sent back a long, nasty list of data points that I would like, and they then sent me over this pretty list. There was a bunch of NAs, TVPs, and unknowns, and will never be provided. And basically what they came back saying is that they'll provide the borrower information, and that's it, and co-borrower information. They did provide us with the borrower mailing address and the collateral address, and so I can then back into any of that data to do our due diligence just based on that, and which I reviewed earlier on the call. So if you missed that, please just go through and jump on that when I talked about pricing and, you know, what we're thinking about doing for that. So that was the information. Oh, one thing to note, these were all non-performing seconds. They're actually not going to provide us any of the senior lien information either. So I thought that was very interesting. Let's see what Kristen has over here on some loans that she was pulling together. I'll refresh the page. Give me one sec and I'll make this a little bit bigger. Let me do that. I'm just going to reformat it so we can see it a little better, and then maybe I'll go size 14. That should be good. And okay, there we go. Let's see. I will go in and somebody just ping me on the chat. Make sure you can see that good. Anybody, just type in. Just let me know you can see that screen good. It looks good. The size-wise. Okay, thank you. Thanks, Gary. Thanks, David. Here we have some loans available. It looks like 12, 17, 25, 26. I think Kristen was saying we have somewhere around 70 loans or so. And these are some that she just started posting that we have available now. And I wanted to take you through what we look for and how we track it and the information that we do, so you make sure that, you know, we're all on the same page and you get an idea of what we are doing. You can see there's a lot of information here. But again, this will be recorded so you can go back and review it later. But I figured this would be a good practice so you can see what's going on in our head and, you know, our process, and then what we would like you to emulate and duplicate. And if you find, by all means, this is a mastermind group, you know, Capstone Funding Group, Travis and Aaron, Kristen, we by all means don't claim to be, you know, the end-all be-all for everything. So if you have other, you know, better system, a better process, other things to simplify, or neat little tips and tricks you found, please share that openly with the group or share over with us and we'll distribute it. Also, it would be a great tool to start getting more involved in our private Facebook group. We're on there a lot. We haven't got as much activity from the group as we'd like, so please, you know, go into the group there, and you can post everything. It is private, so even though it'll show up on your news feed, no one in your network can see it. It's just people that are part of the group, and you can reply and respond, you know, add other things, upload documents, a whole bunch of other stuff. We have a little calculator that Ken Martinez did that we'll be posting up in Note Tools, and then some other products and tools that we'll have available on the Note Tools side as well. Okay, so what we went through on that two-day intensive workshop is the workflow process, and went through a lot of this during that, but I'm going to go through it at a high level here. This is a Google folder. So this links out, you can see here, to a hyperlink. So I actually could go in and click on that, and it'll take me directly into the Google Drive. And within that folder, it'll have all the information that all the folders and reports and everything that we have. And so I'll just go ahead and pull that up so you can have an idea of what we do. So we have due diligence docs, purchase docs, mod docs, and then we have a property detail report. This is something that we did, that we do internally at a glance, that we would recommend you do. We have a little screenshot of the house, and then we, you know, and here, this helps us also, you know, tracking the process to share case studies and with you as group members and also our investors. And so this is the information we have here. Again, this information is private, not to be shared outside of the group. Does contain private information with our borrower. So and you can kind of see the docs and everything that we upload. We're very anal retentive about how we label everything and date them and, you know, everything else. And so just pulls up a lot of good information. And so, again, you can go through that. So this is an active deal that we're following. So we're tracking the status of the senior lien. So these ones in particular, non-performing seconds we have available. We have our senior lien holder, if there's any equity, the first lien status, any arrears in the senior, occupancy status, you know, our internal status, you know, non-performing, performing. Last time we may have pulled credit. This I know is outdated because these have been pulled more recent than that. So, again, Kristen is just going through and updating all this. So, and then we'll push out this information to you guys and make available for purchase. And that I'll go through that process at the end of the call and take some questions on that. We have the UPB, the last payment amount, the next due date. And all this is really good information because this is what the servicer is going to request. So we've done a lot of that heavy lifting for you, unlike some other note sellers. They provide you like next to nothing, and you're just like scrambling. It delays the whole process for you making money and doing a workout, because that's where we're going to make our money, is on the exit. We go through we have the rate, the original payment, arrearages, late fees, total UPB, which includes and arrearages and late, the borrower total debt, which includes everything plus the senior. We have the borrower CLTV, fair market value. We have the fair market value provided as part of the original dated tape. We have, you know, if we want to do a settlement offer with an additional 10 or 20% discount, we have the borrower's information that's all blast through that so we can protect that. We have the bed and bath, FICO, senior lien payment amount, their occupation, employer, age of the borrower, the trust deed state or hardest hit fund, you know, the type of neighborhood, the senior lien payoff, any other comments. And then have the TILA been sent, RESPA's received and sent, and the last credit report. And so that's some of the information that we primarily do for, let me go through and see what else she has. Okay, yeah, so she'll be putting all these more uniform. Let me make this a little bigger so you guys can see that. Go 14. Very good. Value check, BK status, senior lien mod, yes or no. Tax sale, yes or no. We're checking the rents. The last pay to the junior, foreclosure status, property condition, property listed, judicial state, yes or no, owner occupied, yes or no, and then a link out to Google or Zillow for ease of reference. So we'll put those all in a uniform, so you'll see that. But that's really, guys, what we're tracking pre-funding and post-funding. We have everything with our loan number, borrower's last name, city and state for ease of reference there. And this is what we're doing every day. And then we use a combination of other tools and resources that we went into more detail on that two-day training as far as how we move the files on a daily basis. So you're welcome to review that and go through that. Let me open up, let's see, any questions I may have had. Yes, I'll email over the tape. Henry has, thank you, Ronnie. Are you concerned that the last payment is back in 2009 or 2010? It means the senior could be defaulted all the way back to that time too. Okay, so you're talking about non-performing second. So in that instance, we are concerned about the senior lien. We do want to know the status of the senior. I don't want something that is, you know, current. I mean, we'll take stuff that's in BK, and we'll take stuff even where there's been an NOD filed, but not if it's, you know, and we'll take stuff that's even severely delinquent with an op, and there's lots of different exit strategies that, as far as that would go. Why don't we do this? Kristen, are you there? You want to unmute yourself real quick?
Hi.
Hello, hello. Just crank your volume up there a little bit. So okay. Henry has a good question. Let's just go through that scenario. So we have a non-performing second and that we own, and we have a non-performing first that's been delinquent for several years. What would be the potential exit strategies that you would be looking for as the asset manager and can share with our group members on what you'd be looking for and the steps and processes you would take? You know, just a few of them would suffice.
Sure. The first thing I would check and see if an NOD has been filed by the senior. Internal process, only because I speak from experience, they have a lot of internal process and underwriting engines, and if at the end of the day, if it makes more sense for them to not foreclose and to shelf it and continue to collect and try to get a workout, then they're going to do that as well as the same position how we kind of take the exit. So there's a lot of different reasons. So it's not to, if there's no NOD, it wouldn't really scare me from purchasing the note.
Awesome. Any other tips or advice that you would give as far as the exit strategy when contacting the borrower now?
When contacting the borrower, the first thing that I would do is get an authorization, and I would strongly help them, walk them through that modification on the first, or walk them through, because if you're willing to walk them through, you can obtain all of the information by helping them do this. So that's what I would do, and that's what I do when I see a non-performing first that's no NOD. Even if equity, no equity, it doesn't even stop me. I try to just exhaust, get an authorization, and assist the debtor on getting some type of workout on the first. So that's part of our exit.
Awesome. I love it. What else questions do we have? That was very good. So Gary Chung, workflow question. Gary, you practically wrote me a novel. I should have just unmuted you. I may unmute you here in a minute. So workflow question, at what point do you transfer to a loan servicing software, and do you use that to manage and track your workflow, borrower calling notes, periodic updates of property tax checks, credit checks? Okay, so we currently use, we load everything up that we have the intent of working and not selling. So that has been pretty much everything up to this point. And we use LoanPals software to do that. It's an online service. Allows us to work multiple pools. Gives our investors a login as well. And so we use a combination of that. And then we also use our Google Apps for Business account, working through with the different Excel spreadsheets that we use. So, Kristen, do you have any other comments? Because you're in it on a day-to-day basis and reviewing it with us.
Yes.
So, yeah, do you have any other comments you can give to Gary and the group?
Absolutely. I heavily rely on my data tape. I use my data tape with everything. So just because you use other systems, you know, you can build out on your actual data tape a comment section so that it's your live tool that's working with you. I do like Infusion. I don't, you know, I know that not everybody has that type of system, but I love it because you can add all of your conversations and those periodic updates and any note taking, any flow and function and status updates that you want to share with your investors or your other folks that you want to share it with internally, so that I can set reprojections and I can set alerts, and it alerts Aaron and Travis when any touch has been taking place on a file, as well as the Google spreadsheet that we share. So it's a live, we like that because there's no, they have to wait until I'm done to get in it. So it's real time and it's changing as I'm touching. So I personally, as an asset manager, I rely heavily on Excel and spreadsheets. And the loan servicing software is I heavily rely on. That's how I apply funds, reverse late, and get statements out. So that's what that tool is used for, is the 1098s, the tracking the interest paid, and all of that information, and getting an actual statement out once a month between the 12th and the 15th every month. We're going to send out a statement to everyone excluding active BK.
Now, you could simplify that down for those of you that want to simplify some of your expenses. I would probably recommend using the Google Apps for Business that allows you to use that suite of products and, you know, Excel and all your data tapes and uploading of documents. Then you could use Notesmith to get your coupon statements out, calculate lates and arrears and other things. The reason we use different collaboration tools is the size of our team and then the number of investor partners we work with as well. And so we have some other requirements and needs, you know, initially. But I think that those would be a good tools and resources. So very good question, Gary. Thanks for bringing that up. And
now,
we went
Aaron,
over it. Yeah.
If somebody wants to cut costs, and let's just say that they're purchasing their first small pool just to kind of get their feet wet and kind of get to know the process, and you know, and so I would say that all you need to do is create a good template for a statement, and you could just manually send them out. Let's say you have less than 10 notes. That's something that's doable to save the expense of not having to get into a relationship, long-term contract with a servicing software.
Yeah, it's a very good point. Thanks, Kristen. Yeah, very good. And I think we have some of those templates and tools and how we our arrearage and late calculator, too, in the members area. So keep on coming with your questions. I'll open it up. I'm going to take you through the process that we have now. We will add more steps, and this is all subject to change. But what we currently have is you all should have an NDA on file with us. If for whatever reason you don't think that you do, or you want to put another one on file with your company information now, you can go to capstonefundinggroup.com/NDA. And do that. And you may also, if you have another email address specifically for that you want on file, then you can go and fill out that NDA and put that email address there. We'll provide you with a username and password to the Note Vault, and within the Note Vault, you'll be able to download the data tape and supporting collateral documents. Right now, some of you that we're working with, we just email over information, and even some note sellers continue to do that. We don't feel as comfortable with that. We don't think that's necessarily a best practice. And, you know, it's too easy to, you know, somebody to get onto your computer or to forward emails or anything else. So we just figure they're, you know, this is the more commonplace way of doing it, sophisticated way. And, you know, that Note Vault might even be Dropbox or something. So we'll be going through and working with that. Note Inventory is looking like the site that we're going to turn back on again. We used to have performing paper available for resell, and when we were selling partials too, so you can take a look at that. And then we'll provide credit reports. recent credit reports. Depending upon what we have or what our costs are, it'll typically just be a single bureau report, unless we have some minimums we need to use for some of our accounts, and you may get two bureaus or a tri-merge. Then you have access to submit due diligence questions to the asset management hotline and to our team. You know, we'll give our opinion, but we're by no means doing the due diligence for you nor endorsing yours. So, and then, you know, we'll obviously provide you with, you know, loan sale agreement and all that, but then you're going to submit your bid. So we're going to start providing tapes of data. We probably will have reserve prices, minimum prices that that we'll have, and then you'll submit your, you know, your best price for individual assets that you could purchase accordingly. And then if you're wanting specific loan pools with a little bit with better preferred pricing, then reach out to us. Typically, those need to be a minimum of $50,000 to get going on something like that that we feel is good for seconds. And then when we have senior liens available, we typically recommend, you know, about $100K for a pool for something like that. Then we also post funding. So let me just back up. So submit your bid upon it, and then you'll receive a notification via email of acceptance or rejection. If it's accepted, then you'll be provided with a loan sale agreement, note transfer form, and wire instructions. And that'll be it. So pretty straightforward there. After the funding's taken place, we'll go ahead and stack the file and provide you with a comprehensive skip trace. And then we'll also prepare for the recording of the assignments and allonges, and you'll be responsible for the actual recordings of them, either yourself or with the custodian. And then we will instruct our custodian to release all collateral files per the instructions you provided on the note transfer form provided by you. Let me talk about the custodian. You're more than welcome to do some curing and recording yourself. We don't recommend that's best practice, nor do we recommend you do that. We don't do that. We did it early on for some of the senior liens that were non-performing that we bought, and they really didn't need any curing, just needed some recording. So we went ahead and took care of that. But if there's any type of curing or, you know, you want the custodian to actually review the file with you and store them digitally, what they'll do is they have their a secure facility where they have the original collateral files that they house, and they charge, I think, $1 to $2 per loan per month to store, and then they have an online portal where you can now go download and view soft copies of it. You can also request from the custodian for them to send you a disk. That's right, a CD disk, actual physical disk, and they'll just mail that to you. So I don't know if you guys knew that or not, but if you have with, you know, your custodian, you can actually request that from them today, and they'll just ship that out to you, and you can have it on disk and then download all the contents of the disk at that point. So that's a process that we'll have. We'll have available assets for you, both from our portfolio and new ones that we're purchasing on this most recent trade. And we look forward to providing those to you. Henry's question, is it necessary to send a statement out to the borrower every month on non-performing loans? Is it necessary to send a statement? It is definitely best practice to get a statement out to them. It depends on the state and the county for different requirements that they have. So we recommend best practice, and it does a couple things. One, it's another touch. Two, it shows them you're not going away. Three, it's showing all the interest and lates and everything that accrued. So last month that payment, you know, that loan was $22,100.50. Now it's $22,000, $22,500.60. You know, whatever it is, it just keeps going up. So they see all the information that, you know, that's not going away. And then, you know, if you were ever have to go to court or subpoenaed or anything to provide all the communication and all the requirements you have been shored up that you've followed suit. So that's good. Good question. What other questions do we have? So we have, let me just make a couple comments on past trainings that we do, and we're happy to redirect them to you. We've done a lot of trainings, both virtual and live, about looking and reviewing credit reports, looking at skip trace reports, doing due diligence. Kristen, let me mute you. There we go. And we have all these different reports and things that we've reviewed and go through and then look over our shoulder due diligence. If you want to come to our office and go through some data, then you can schedule that accordingly in the members area and get on the calendar to come and look at some of the stuff that we do and analyze. It's pretty straightforward. It's pretty straightforward what we do. Let me hop out of this real quick and so there we go. Okay. So when we go through, I'll just kind of give you a particular one on what we do so you can kind of keep it straightforward. So let's just pull up this particular one. I'll just take some time and see if you have any other questions. If not, we'll call it good. So I could go to Zillow or any of that, but I'm not even going to do that right now. I'm just going to go to Google for now. And then what I do, and our asset management team as well, as I zoom out before I start taking a look and doing everything. And the reason I do this is I want to, you know, I'm not an expert, nor do we expect you to be, of the surrounding area and what's all there. And so we want to get an idea of where the heck, you know, is this asset located, and then we'll do some information about, you know, the county and the, you know, historicals and demographics. But you can do that pretty quick. So I know, you know, I bet this is probably a pretty nice area because we're close to water and we're in Washington State. We're here in this, you know, little area here. And so it kind of gives me an idea of what we're looking for. And so I just kind of familiarize myself where everything's at. I start looking at parks, you know, and everything. So this is kind of a ways. This might be a little marketplace. And so just kind of familiarizing myself and, you know, with where everything's at. And then I'll start zooming in and, you know, look at where it's at from a street detail. This is a higher-end property. I think this one's around 700,000 or something. It's a very desirable place. A lot of people retire here. As well, I think, what do we have here? Yeah, 375. But yeah, it's a higher end place there. And then I'll just kind of pull in. I mean, it's beautiful property out here. Shoot, I'd retire there. And so I just kind of get an idea of what's all the surrounding. I don't really want to walk the street or do anything at this point because I got an idea. All these are like on a half acre to a couple acres. You know, it's out in the country just a little bit, but it is close to shopping. Is I already pulled that up, and, you know, then I'll go and pull up the county. There's a hotel that's close by. So it's not like out, you know, and there's the Chamber of Commerce and the vet hospital. So while it's kind of tucked away a little bit, it's a pretty good area. Something that I'd like. And then I'll just go check out Zillow real quick, keep that real simple. All I'm going to do on Zillow is sometimes it'll show foreclosure information. It's usually inaccurate. Sometimes it'll show it's for sale. That's usually inaccurate. So we don't, you know, we take that all into consideration. We check out the rents. Gives me the rent estimate, gives it the estimate, so I kind of give that at a glance. So it looks like it's possibly gone up. Give me an idea there. Here's what I'd like to do, though. I like to scroll all the way down, and then I like to look at this map view area right here of what's sold or for sale in the surrounding area and get an idea. So see all that information that pulls up. You know, it's kind of a view that I like. Rather than going to, because I just remember click that direct from my Google search or just typing in the borrower's property address. So I can see some good activity in the prices. It's all pretty, looks like that might be some land or something there. If I were to click on that, yep, land. Well, that's a pretty view. So I kind of get an idea of, you know, the comparables and what's going on and the kind of the activity. I got some good activity and a lot of stuff's recently sold. And so that all looks good. And that's all I really do. Sometimes I'll click on those and look at that. But, you know, that's what we'll do as far as that goes. And then we'll start pulling in Pacer and TLO and our, you know, credit reports and start diving in to any of that. So we just don't really overcomplicate any of that. Again, you know, you may have analysis of paralysis when you start looking through and going over, oh gosh, this borrower is just never going to pay us. Or, I mean, we've shared so many case studies with you guys and continue to share more and more of borrowers that it makes no sense on why they pay on stuff. You know, a lot of times on our second, our non-performing seconds, and then, you know, first as well, we get that. So it's just kind of all over the place. You know, we're just looking for the security. You know, do we have a secure position? Because if it went unsecured, now we're at a whole different area of having to, you know, file judgments or, you know, sue them or go down some sort of other recourse, or, you know, we just put it on the shelf and, you know, for a rainy day in the future. And some stuff we wait for it to go up in value and bank on the market turning. You know, we bought a lot of stuff from people that were sitting on the paper for 5 to 7 years just waiting for values to come back up, and now all of a sudden there's some equity coverage and, you know, other things that they can get a better markup and everything else from. So just kind of all over the place. So got a couple questions about emailing information on the vault. Yes, we'll send that up. I'm still going through the process, working with that. So as soon as I have that done, I'll send that out and along with the data tape. My goal is to have it by weekend, pending everything going good with our custodian and all the collateral documents. So then we'll be good there. And then if you bid on multiple notes with the total price adding up to 50K, do you get some sort of additional discount? Yeah, that's not, I mean, if you're wanting to spend that kind of amount, then let's, you know, give us maybe some criteria and we'll try and meet the criteria as much as possible and price it accordingly, which when you start doing that, then, you know, it is priced more. But if you're just buying multiple notes and, you know, on a one-off basis and it starts adding up to 50K, there's really not a type of discount or something that we can build in because we need a certain price for those assets and that, you know, whatever portfolio it may be coming out of. So great question. That would be my suggestion and advice back in regard to that question. So what other questions do we have before we wrap it up today and call it good? We got some good stuff here. Let's see where these loans are at. California, Tennessee, Arizona, Texas, Illinois. Very good. Massachusetts. All good stuff. All good stuff. Let's see. Washington, New York, New Jersey, Hawaii, Florida. Cool. Very good. All right. When looking at a pool of notes with no equity, do you value based on how close it is to have equity? Not really. I mean, it's either, you know, I have equity or I don't have equity. If I don't have equity, then, you know, let me make sure I understand it correctly. So when looking at pool notes with no equity, do you value based on how close it is to have equity? Yeah, everything is taken into consideration as far as, you know, how close to equity it is. Again, the market can turn on a dime. So if there's no equity, there's no equity, and we just, you know, proceed forward with, you know, what our particular exits may look like based on that. And just because it doesn't have equity doesn't really mean much to us either. I mean, we got a situation right now that we're going through in Florida, and we just found out that she receives $1,800 a month, and she's pock and her mortgage on the first is $1,000, and she's pocketing $800, and she doesn't want to pay us. And there's like, we almost have $100K in equity, and we're literally going to have to foreclose and take the property. I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, so that, you know, they didn't want to work with us, and we do have full coverage and everything else. But even if we didn't, you know, we wouldn't be left with much of a choice. So. Range of pricing you would pay for a note with no equity and ones with equity. I sent out a pricing guide. I believe that's in the members area. I'll follow up with John, make sure that's there, and send you a notification for the pricing guide there. Let me see if I can just pull it up real quick. I can just show you. Here we go. All right. So this is for illustrative purposes and is not construed as financial advice. First lien position here. We typically buy those 40 to 65 cents of the property value with some exceptions. Second lien, lots of factors, all driven by equity of the first and, you know, and based on the UPB, but you can see there the pricing matrix we have there. So we'll make sure we get that uploaded in the members area. So you can see underwater, you know, seniors performing, semi-performing, unknown, or in foreclosure. So 5 cents upwards to 20 cents. So it's just kind of all over the place. This is, you know, something little matrix that we've put together. We've seen some other people in the industry that have similar pricing structures as well. So I mean, it's all pretty comparable and competitive from what we've seen, and this is how we base off things, base ours as well. So very good. Oh, Kristen just chatted me. So just for an example of how the market changes. When we initially bought that Florida note that I was talking about, we did not have equity at first, and then now we do. I don't know the exact amount. Chris, maybe chat me the exact amount that we have. I think we have a lot of equity now because we bought it when and the at the complete bottom. So, oh, and she modified her first recently. So maybe something will happen. They did 123K principal write-off. So that's just crazy. So we'll write that up and have that for you in a future case study. Kristen, did you have an update that you had something you wanted to review on one? Was it something you were helping Gary with or one of ours? Did you want to give a quick update there?
A couple folks have reached out to me for last call. Gary's case study was the outcome was a unsecured note for the difference of the amount that he received via lump settlement. And so
Okay.
now we have that doc, and I just wanted to share it with you, but I wanted to also make sure that there's a huge difference when you're preparing a note that's unsecured and then a secured note that's attached to property. So that's why I just want to make sure that when you are creating a note, just make sure you're using the correct template.
That's awesome. Hey, thanks, Gary. And good work, buddy. What else? What else do you have? Anything else you want to bring up? Some recent stuff that we've seen, and then we'll wrap up the call.
Our bank manager in Washington, that saga continues. We're headed in the right direction to negotiate with a lien holder in front of us.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So we bought this loan, thought it was a secure second. It's actually a secure third. He's wanting to pay us off, and we were at a 5K delta difference that we're not willing to budge on. And so in the meantime, he modded his first, correct?
Yes.
And we're locating the second, and Kristen just found it, and we're going to get vetted. And she was a pit bull trying to get that deal done, and we're going to see if we can pick up the second and strengthen our position that much more. Awesome. Good work. Okay, anything else? Looks like I think we're good. Let me go to the question. All right, thanks everyone for being on the call. We'll end it today at 3 o'clock, so be sure and get registered for the upcoming events that we have. And we appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule. We'll have this up in the members area. Travis will be back with us next week. And you have an outstanding week and weekend. And touch base with us here in any way we can help serve you guys. All right. Talk to you later.